Welcome to Zichur Daf Simani, member of Avram Goldar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos, Daf Tzadi Aleph. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, Rava said in the name of Rav Nachman that if one took a quantity of produce the size of a grogeris to Rosh Hashanah with the purpose of eating it there, and before placing it down, he changed his mind and decided to plant it, or vice versa, he's liable for transferring. The Gemara clarifies that one might have thought, Be'inan akir v'hanocha b'chadam achshava, the picking up and placing it on the object must be done with the same intent. Therefore, Rav Nachman teaches that there's no such requirement. Number two, Rava asks, if one would be liable if he took out a quantity of produce, the size of a grogeris, to Rosh Hashanah, and then, during mid-transfer, it shrank in size, and therefore, at that point, he would not be liable if he had put it down, and then it swelled again, that at the time the person placed it down, it was the size of a grogeris. So Rava's question is whether, Yesh dichu yu inyan Shabbos, or ain't dichu yu inyan Shabbos? Is the principle of negation operative in Shabbos laws or not? In other words, does the fact that there was a moment during the transfer when the produce shrank to be smaller than the necessary size void the original Akira and negate the obligation to bring a Chatas? The Gemara leaves this question as a teku. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that if one takes a basket filled with produce from his house and places it on the outer threshold, even if most of the produce is in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the person is exempt from bringing a chatas since some of the produce is still in the Rishus Yachi. Chizkiah says that the Mishnah is referring to a basket full of cucumbers and gourds, but in a case of mustard seeds, he would be liable. Rashi explains that cucumbers and gourds span the length of the basket, and therefore no single unit has been fully transferred, whereas in the case of mustard seeds, some of the seeds would be resting completely in Rishus Rabbim. And the Gemara explains that Chizkiah holds, Eged Kli Lo Shmei Eged, the bond of the vessel is not recognized as a bond. It does not make the mustard seeds if they're still bonded to the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Rabbi Yochanan says that even in the case of mustard seeds, one is exempt. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yochanan holds, Eged Kli Shmei Eged. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Rava said in the name of Nachman that if one took a quantity of produce the size of a grogeris to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim with the purpose of eating it there, and before placing it down, he changed his mind and decided to plant it, or vice versa, he's liable for transferring. The Gemara clarifies that one may have thought, Be'inan akir b'hanach b'chadam achshava, the picking up and the placing down of the object must be done with the same intent. Therefore, Rav Nachman teaches there is no such requirement. Point number two, Rava asks if one would be liable if he took out a quantity of produce the size of a grogeris to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and then, during mid-transfer, it shrank in size, and therefore at that point he would not be liable if he had put it down, and then swelled again that at the time the person placed it down, it was the size of a grogeris. Rava's question is whether Yesh Dichui L'Inyan Shabbos or Ain't Dichui L'Inyan Shabbos. Is the principle of negation operative in Shabbos laws or not? In other words, does the fact that there was a moment during the transfer when the produce shrank to be smaller than the necessary size void the original Akira and negate the obligation to bring a Chatas? The Gemara leaves this question as a teku. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that if one takes out a basket filled with produce from his house and places it on the outer threshold, even if most of the produce is in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the person is exempt from bringing a chatas since some of the produce is still in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Now, Chizkiah says that the Mishnah is referring to a basket full of cucumbers and gourds, but in a case of mustard seeds, he would be liable. And Rashi explains that cucumbers and gourds span the length of the basket, and therefore, no single unit has been fully transferred, whereas in the case of mustard seeds, some of the seeds would be resting completely in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The Gemara explains that Chizkiah holds, Eged Kli Lo Shmei Eged. The bond of the vessel is not recognized as a bond. It doesn't make the mustard seeds that they're still bonded to the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Rabbi Yochanan says that even in the case of mustard seeds, one is exempt. The Gemara explains Rabbi Yochanan holds, Eged Kli Shmei Eged. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Tzadi Aleph, and in this case, most of the suggestions came in along the lines of go out, get out, exit, leave, exit signs. We had Shlomo Sabovich from Toronto suggesting a get out of jail free card. We had Binyamin Santovarnagy, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, Binyamin from Berlin, who suggests a guest who does not want to leave. And then Uri Berger from Woodmere suggested a leaf blower, because tse means to leave, and also the leaves are leaving. Then Moshe Wax suggested General Tso's chicken. And then moving into Gematrias, we had Shimshon Zitwer suggesting a person shouting Amen, because that's a Gematria of 91. But I'm going to go with Sammy Raskus from the Old City of Yerushalayim, who suggested a security guard or a bouncer standing at an exit sign, right? All because of go out. So that's going to be our simon. Say is a security guard by an exit sign. That's going to be our simon for Tzadi Aleph. So thank you, Sammy, for that. And thank you, everybody, for all your suggestions. So here goes. The grocery store security guard standing by the exit sign reminded customers on their way out they could change their mind and plant certain foods and recommended they keep the vegetables that tend to shrink bonded in a basket full of cucumbers, not mustard seed. Once again, in slow motion. The grocery store security guard standing by the exit sign. Security guard by an exit sign, that means we're on Daf Tzadik Aleph. The grocery store security guard standing by the exit sign reminded customers on their way out. They could change their mind and plant certain foods, which reminds us. Rava said in the name of Nachman that if one took a quantity of produce the size of a gargaris to Rosh Hashanah with the purpose of eating it there, and before placing it down he changed his mind and decided to plant it or vice versa, he's liable for transferring. The Gemara clarifies that one might have thought, Be'inin akir v'hanach b'chadam machshava. The picking up and the placing down of the object must be done with the same intent. Therefore, Rav Nachman teaches that there is no such requirement. So the grocery store security guard standing by the exit sign reminded customers on the way out they could change their mind and plant certain foods and recommended they keep the vegetables that tend to shrink, which reminds us. Rava asks if one would be liable if he took out a quantity of produce the size of a gargaris to Rosh Hashanah and then during mid-transfer it shrank in size and therefore at that point he would not be liable if he put it down and then swelled again that at the time he placed it down it was the size of a gargaris. Rav's question is whether Yesh Dichui Leinin Shabbos or Ein Dichui Leinin Shabbos. Is the principle of negation operative in Shabbos laws or not? In other words, does the fact that there was a moment during the transfer when the produce shrank to be smaller than the necessary size void the original Akira and negate the obligation to bring a Chatas? The Gemara leaves this question as a teiku. So the grocery store security guard standing by the exit sign reminded customers on the way out they could change their mind and plant certain foods and recommended they keep the vegetables that tend to shrink bonded in a basket full of cucumbers, not mustard seed. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one takes a basket filled with produce from his house and places it on the outer threshold, even if most of the produce is in Rosh Hashanah, the person is exempt from bringing a chatas since some of the produce is still in the Rosh Hashanah. Chizkiah says that the Mishnah is referring to a basket full of cucumbers and gourds, but in a case of mustard seeds, he would be liable. And Rashi explains that cucumbers and gourds span the length of the basket and therefore no single unit has been fully transferred, whereas in a case of mustard seeds, some of the seeds would be resting completely in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara explains that Chizkiah holds Eged Kli Lo Shmei Eged. The bond of the vessel is not recognized as a bond. It does not make the mustard seeds as if they're still bonded to the Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yochanan says that even in the case of mustard seeds, one is exempt. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yochanan holds Eged Kli Shmei Eged. So once again, the grocery store security guard standing by the exit sign reminded customers on their way out they could change their mind and plant certain foods and recommended they keep the vegetables that tend to shrink bonded in a basket full of cucumbers, not mustard seed. And now it's time for a four blah bat chazara. Daf Pei Zayin. So the Siman Pei Zayin is a golden Pez candy dispenser. So here goes. The golden Pez candy dispenser. Golden Pez candy dispenser. That must mean we're on Daf Pei Zayin. The golden Pez candy dispenser given to the student the teacher agreed with three times, which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa. Moshe did three things based on his own understanding, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with him in each instance. Number one, Moshe added one day of abstinence in preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. Hashem agreed, and the Shekhinah did not rest on Har Sinai until Shabbos morning, which was after the day Moshe had added. Number two, Moshe separated from his wife after the Aseret HaDibros. Hashem agreed, and when he told Moshe to tell everyone to go back to their wives, he said to Moshe, Ve'ata po amodi madi, but as for you, Moshe, stand here with me. And number three, Moshe broke the luchos. Reish Lakish learns from the pasuk referring to the luchos, asher shibarta, that which you broke. The Kosh Baruch Hu said, yasher kochokosh shibarta, your strength shall be true to its mark because you broke the tablets. Rashi explains that Reish Lakish interpreted the word asher, which, to mean ishur, an affirmation. So the golden Pez candy dispenser, given to the student the teacher agreed with three times, was to be used within the tchum on Shabbos, which reminds us, there's a Malchukas Amoraim regarding the scope of Shabbos laws that were commanded in Mara. Rava holds they were commanded to observe the primary laws of Shabbos, but not the laws of Tchumim, Shabbos boundaries. According to Rava, Bnei Israel left Rephidim on Shabbos and arrived in Midbar Sinai the next day. Rav Acha bar Yaakov holds that the laws of Tchumim were also given in Mara. Therefore, Bnei Israel left Rephidim on Sunday and arrived in Midbar Sinai the same day. So the golden Pez candy dispenser given to the student the teacher agreed with three times was to be used within the tchum on Shabbos, and featured 10 candy bricks, each stamped with a crown. Which reminds us, the Tanna taught that the first of Nisan Nato Eser Ataros took 10 crowns, meaning 10 things began on that day. 1, creation. 2, the offering from the Nesim. 3, the Kahuna. 4, Avoda. 5, heavenly fire on the Mizbeach. 6, eating Kachim. 7, the Shekhinah residing in the Mishkan. 8, Berachos Kohanim. 9, the prohibition against Bamos. And 10, the first of the months of the year. Da Peches. So the Siman Da Peches is a Pach, a garbage can. So here goes. When the big brother was caught holding a garbage can, that means we're on Daf Peches. When the big brother was caught holding a garbage can over his kid brother, which reminds us, Rabbi Avdimi Bar Chama Bar Chassa said that the Pasuk, Yitzatzu V'Tachin Zachar, they stood at the foot of the mountain, comes to teach Shekafa Kodesh Baruch Olam as Ohar Kigigis. The Kodesh Baruch Hu covered them with a mountain as though it were an upturned vat and said, if you accept the Torah, fine, but if not, Sham Tehik Baraschem, your burial will be there. Rav Achim Bar Yaakov said, Mikan Moda Rabba La Araisa. From here there are grounds for a notification of coercion regarding the acceptance of the Torah. Rabba said, nevertheless, they accept the Torah again in the days of Achashverosh, as it says, Kimu V'kibu HaYehudim. The Jews establish and accept it. He interprets this to mean, Kimu Mashi Kibu Kvar. They establish in the days of Achashverosh what they accepted in the days of Moshe. So when the big brother was caught holding a garbage can over his kid brother, demanding he pledge Na'asa v'Nishma to him, which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar said, when Bnei Yisrael said Na'asa before Nishma, a baskal emanate and said to them, Migilu Levane Razeh Shemalchei Asharis Mishtam Shimbo, who revealed to my children the secret which the Malchei Asharis use? Rashi explains that a Malch stands ready to do Hashem's will, even before he knows what it entails, unlike other servants that wait to hear the instructions to determine if they can accept them. So when the big brother was caught holding a garbage can over his kid brother, demanding he pledge Na'asa v'Nishma to him, he explained to his parents the whole reason the Torah was given to him is specifically because he has a Yetzihara. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that when Moshe ascended to Shemayim, and the Malchei Asharis were told that he had come to receive the Torah, they asked how something that was stored as a treasure for 974 generations before the world was created could be given to flesh and blood. Hashem told Moshe to answer them. After Hashem afforded him protection from them, Moshe proceeded to point out how the mitzvahs have no relevance to the Malachim. They were not in Mitzrayim, never enslaved, they don't live among Obadiah Avodah Zorah, they don't engage in Malacha to require ceasing from it, and so on. After he challenged them and asked them if they had envy or Yetzirah, they immediately conceded that each Malch, including the Malch HaMavis, gave him a gift. Daf Pei Tes. So the symbol for Pei Tes is a chalent pot. So here goes. The ravenous Yeshiva Bachrami asked the cook Thursday night, where is the coveted chalent pot? Chalent pot, that means we're on Daf Pei Tes. The ravenous Yeshiva Bachrami asked the cook Thursday night, where is the coveted chalent pot? Which reminds us, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi taught that when Moshe descended Har Sinai, Satan came and asked Hashem where the Torah was and was told, I gave it to the earth. Satan searched everywhere and couldn't find it. Hashem told him to go to Ben Amram. Moshe responded to the Satan, who am I that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given me the Torah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe that he was a fibber, since of course the Torah was given to him. Moshe responded, you have this coveted and treasured Torah that you delight in every day. Who am I that I should flatter myself that you gave the Torah to me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, since you diminished your role in receiving the Torah, it should be called in your name. As it says in the Pasuk, Zichru Torah's Moshe Avdi. Remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant. So the rabbin in Yeshiva Bachrim asked the cook Thursday night, where is the coveted chalent pot? And we're told it's been tucked away behind the mountain with five names. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi Bar Bechina said that Har Sinai has five names. Midbar Tzin, because the Jewish people were commanded upon it to observe the Torah. Midbar Kadesh, because the Jewish people were sanctified upon it. Midbar Kedemos, because the primordial Torah, the Kedumah, was given upon it. Midbar Parim, because the Jewish people were fruitful and multiplied next to it. And Har Sinai, because hatred, Sina, to idolaters, was brought upon it. Rashi says it means that Hashem's hatred of idolaters descended upon it for not accepting the Torah, and the Rambam says it's referring to the idolatrous hatred for Jews for receiving the Torah. Its actual name was Horeb. Rabbi Abba says its actual name was Har Sinai, and it was called Har Horeb because ruin, churba, to idolaters descended upon it. So the ravenous Yeshiva Bachrim asked the cook Thursday night, where is the covenant chalent pot? And we're told it's been tucked away behind the mountain with five names for 12.5 years. Which reminds us, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said in the name of Yonason that in the future, Yitzchak will be the only patriarch willing to defend Bnei Israel from Hashem's judgment. His successful defense involved calculating the years that a person sins to a grand total of 12.5. A person lives 70 years, and therefore after deducting the 20 years that one is not punished, the 25 years that one sleeps, and the 12.5 years that one prays, eats, and goes to the bathroom, there are only 12.5 years that he has sinned. Yitzchak suggested that Hashem should shoulder them, and if not, he'll split them with Hashem, and even shoulder them all if necessary. Daf Tzadik. So the sim for Daf Tzadik is a tzedakah box of Pushka. So here goes. The little boy who put some coins in a peddler box he used for a tzedakah box, that means we're on Daf Tzadik. The little boy who put some coins in a peddler's box he used for tzedakah, which reminds us, the second mission on the Daf states that if one carries out a peddler's box, a kupas arochin on Shabbos, he's only liable for one chattis, even though there are many different spices placed in the box. Rashi explains that these peddlers sold perfumes and fragrant spices to women, and their boxes contain many smaller boxes, each with its small bundles of spices. Even though carrying out the box results in the transfer of many different types of spices, it's still viewed as a single act of caring. So the little boy put some coins in a peddler's box he used for tzedakah after giving a moving eulogy over the death of his non-kosher locust, which reminds us, there's a machlokas in the mission regarding transferring locusts. The Tanakhama holds The one is liable for taking out a live kosher locust of any size because one would give it to a child to play with. If it's dead, it has the status of food, and it needs to be the size of a gregarious. Rabbi Yehuda holds that one is even liable for taking out a live non-kosher locust, whatever its size, since people store it for their child to play with. The Gemara explains that the Tanna Kamma holds that people will not store live non-kosher locusts for the kids out of concern that if the locust would die, the child would eat it. Therefore, one is only liable for transferring them if they have a minimum shear. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, holds that if the locust will die, the child will eulogize it, not eat it. Therefore, people will store live known kosher locusts, and one is liable for transferring regardless of its size. So the little boy puts some coins in a peddler's box he used for tzedakah after giving a moving eulogy over the death of his non-kosher locust. Was so distraught, he couldn't remember why he carried the single seed into Rishus HaRabim. Which reminds us, the first mission of the 10th Berg states that if one stored a minute amount of a substance for a particular purpose, such as a seed for planting, then one is liable for taking out this minute amount. Abai explains that the Mishnah's case is where a person stored the item for a designated use and then forgot what he stored it for. One might have thought that if he then carried out a minimal amount of the item into Rishus HaRabim, his original intent would be nullified and he would be exempt from Achatas. The Tanna is therefore coming to teach us, Kol Osa Al Das Rishonu Osa. Anyone who does something without specific intention is presumed to be doing it based on his original intent. Therefore, the item retains its significance and the person is liable. All right, now it's time to conclude with a pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which daf is b'machlokas regarding Eged Kli Shmei Eged? That's on daf Tzadi Aleph. Good. Number 2, which daf do we learn that seed is viable for 3 days? That's on daf Hey, Vav. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn the backstory on Zichru Torah's Moshe? That's on daf Pei Tes. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we have a case where produce shrank when it's being carried out and then it swelled again? So that's on daf Tzadi Aleph. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn that the first of Nisan has 10 crowns? Asar Ataros, that's on daf Pei Zayin. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kapalem Har Kigigis by Har Sinai? That's on daf Pei Ches. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we have a Malchokas regarding carrying locusts into Rishus Rabin? That's on daf Tzadi. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn that earthenware is not Makabal Tumas Midras? That's on daf Pei Dalet. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn if someone stored a minimum amount of a substance for a certain purpose, forgot what that purpose was, and carried it out, he's still chayv based on his original intent? That's on daf Tzadi. Good. And finally, number 10. Which daf do we learn that B'nai Seir were experts in the earth? That's on daf Pei Hei. Great. Now we go to the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Which daf do we learn that one can have food or drink for medicinal purposes on Shabbos? That's on daf Lamed Ches. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that ein osi mitzvahs chavilos? Chavilos, that one should not put 2 topics in the chasima of a bracha. That's on daf Mem Tes. Good. And finally, number 3. Which daf do we learn that 2 people can make the 3rd person who they're eating with join their zimun? That's on daf Mem Hey. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz, plus the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman from Zichru, wishing you a great day, great learning.